Well, I am Wayne Fetterman.
Also known as the comedy professor.
Now I am a comedy professor. Did you hear about that?
No.
Why did you call me the comedy professor?
Our last episode.
Okay, this is weird. I don't remember any of
which we just discovered was almost a year ago.
About a year ago.
It was the same time we were recording. I said that you were taking me to comedy school because you were teaching me so much about Saturday Night Live.
Right. Okay. Are you ready to have your mind, I don't want to say blown, but just surprised.
Expanded?
I don't even know expanded. I am now officially an adjunct professor of stand-up comedy and history at University of Southern California.
Get out of town.
No, I'm not leaving town.
Okay.
It's right down there. I got to stay in town because I have a class every Friday.
There you go.
Yeah. So.
What's it like teaching in a college?
Well, this is new to me, obviously. And it's fun, I guess. Let me think. What is it like teaching in a college? Well, have you been to that campus?
Yes.
Campus is crazy.
It's like imagine a college campus and that's what it looks
yeah,
like.
Yeah, yeah. Imagine an upscale college campus and that's what it looks like. So, I don't know. I told the kids the first day of class, like, this is stand-up. I can't teach someone to be funny. It's impossible. It's sort of. But I can maybe give you some information about where this all sits in the world, you know, stand-up comedy. And also maybe a couple hints about writing and putting together an act. But I told them, I said, there's one piece of advice I'm going to give you from Professor Fetterman. Excuse me, adjunct professor. Do you know what adjunct means? I think it means not a professor. Because I don't have a lot of advanced degrees, needless to say.
Not even honorary?
Okay, let's not make it about me and how I failed. No, I don't have one honorary degree.
Well, we'll change that with this episode.
Okay.
Any colleges listening, any faculty?
Or universities. Did you know there's a difference between college and universities?
I didn't, but now that you say that, I do.
Yeah.
It's in the back of my mind recessed.
Apparently, there's colleges in a university.
Is college just the undergrad?
No. You can go to university for undergrad, but go to a specific college in that university. I know.
Is it a square rectangle thing?
Anyway, it's a pyramid.
No,
this
is why people are listening, to dissect the language of.
It's obviously a pyramid scheme. So I told them the most important thing as a comedian, and this is for anyone listening who wants to be a comedian. My advice, I know I'm talking too loud. You're adjusting the volume. Get on stage as much as possible in front of strangers. Not your little comedy group. Not your little, hey, these are my guys I'm doing the same open mics with. Yeah, that's great. That's getting on stage as much as possible. But if you can do it in front of strangers, that's the key.
Does it have to be like formally strangers? Could you just do it on the street corner?
That's a good question.
I mean, you probably developed. I was more going for a bad joke, but
right. No, because
there's
I
probably some skills you could learn doing that.
No, I remember we were talking about SNL last time, and did we talk about Eddie Murphy and how he got on SNL?
We talked about Eddie Murphy. We talked about these, like the rehearsal or like all Eddie Murphy sketch.
Yeah. I went to that. So they hire this guy. Just goes back to what you were speaking about. A street performer named Charlie Barnett, who used to do shows in Washington Square Park. They hired him, gets on the stage for first read through. He's functionally illiterate, can't read the script. Fire him, hire Eddie Murphy.
That's not where where I thought the story was going.
I know.
When you started it.
I know.
So don't perform on the street.
I guess. Or if you're going to perform on the street,
know how to read.
Learn how to read first.
That's good.
So they think it's called busking.
Yes.
Is that correct?
Yeah, using busking.
Busking? Are they buskers?
Yes.
Is that the...
I don't know if you really don't know or if this is a bit or if you... Really
No. Sure. I've never busked. We never called it busking when I was growing up.
I think that's
up.
Like the...
Euro version?
Well, and it's like the formalized. Like a lot of places you can get like a busking license and you have to do that in order to actually legally busk because they don't want...
Uh-huh. But we're here to not to talk about Charlie Barnett. Hold on, I have to drink some water.
Take your time. I'll take a sip as well. And while past me and Wayne are taking a drink, I'll take this moment to tell you what we are going to talk about. And that's Johnny Carson. If you haven't heard the news, CISO is working on a show called There's Johnny that takes place behind the scenes of The Tonight Show starring Johnny Carson. The show was written by Paul Reiser and David Steven Simon, and although there's still a little bit of time before the show comes to CISO, just last week they premiered at Tribeca Film Festival, and they also released a teaser trailer online. We tweeted about it last week, and if you haven't had a chance to see it, you should go check it out. But anyways, as much as a comedy fan as I am, embarrassingly, there's a lot about Johnny Carson and that era of comedy that I don't know a lot about. So I thought it was perfect time for another installment of Wayne Fetterman's Comedy School. Welcome to the CISO C Show. I'm Andrew Steven. Before we get too far into this conversation, I wanted to take a moment and thank our show sponsor, Casper. If you don't know, Casper is an obsessively engineered mattress at a shockingly fair price. It's made from supportive memory foams that creates an award-winning sleep surface with just the right sink and just the right bounce. And here's the best part. You can try Casper for 100 nights risk-free in your own home. If you don't love it, they'll pick it up and refund you everything. Casper understands the importance of truly sleeping on a mattress before you commit, especially considering you're going to spend a third of your life on it. When I was looking for a new mattress, this was the thing that really pushed me over the edge, knowing that I could try out a mattress for 100 nights to decide whether I would keep it or not. And guess what? I kept my Casper mattress because it's that good. Plus, there's free shipping and returns in US and Canada. With over 20,000 reviews and an average of 4.8 stars, Casper is quickly becoming the internet's favorite mattress. And if you listen to this podcast, you can get $50 off any mattress purchase by visiting www.casper.com/CISO. That's www.casper.com/SEESO and using the offer code CISO. Terms and conditions apply.
We're not here to talk about Charlie Burnett or Eddie Murphy. What are we here to talk about, Andrew?
Well, I need
Besides,
to learn...
You want to know more about me first or just what?
Well, let's dive in.
Let's dive.
I need to know more about Johnny Carson. And so I turned to the professor of comedy, the teacher of tee-hee-hees. I was trying for an alliteration.
Yeah.
I see judgment
I'm letting
in
it,
your face.
No, I'm letting it lie there. Just letting it lie. I'm not saving it at all.
This is what I know about Johnny Carson, and this is me being vulnerable and honest. I watched the documentary when it came out.
The PBS.
Yes.
Yep.
It was, I don't remember much of it. I know he's lauded in the comedy community. I know he hosted The Tonight Show, obviously. I laugh when I've seen clips of him.
You've seen, obviously, the best of it, so these are going to be the best clips of Carson.
Yeah. There's something I remember about him sort of taking ownership of the show and like all the rights of it and rebroadcast rights and stuff like that he owned. And that's about it.
That's it.
That's about it.
If I did my Johnny Carson impression, would
I
you know?
Yes, and I know he's very impersonated.
Can you do it?
I'm Johnny Carson.
Yeah, that's not bad.
It's the first attempt ever.
Yeah, of course.
And he did the mind reading bit. Oh, and of course, the late night wars. I know a little
Right.
Bit
he
about.
Was at the end of the late one. He stepped down. That's 1992. And they decided to turn it over to Jay Leno. Mm-hmm. And there was a battle between him and Letterman.
And the only, was it three times he appeared on late night after that? Was on Letterman.
Correct.
So it's,
he did three Lettermans?
Yeah. I think they were all sort of just walk-on.
I saw one of them. I thought it was just one. But you're saying it was three.
It's more than one.
It's more than one.
But I think it's less than four.
Yeah. Oh, wait. I saw the one he did out here in L.A.
Yes.
I was at, they did it, believe it or not, that show from well, obviously, Letterman, yeah. They did it from CBS.
And it would make sense because Carson lived out here.
Yeah. Yeah. I saw that show where he walked out, sat at the desk, and then walked off.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because I was doing an episode of The X-Files at the time. And David Duchovny was on the show. I was like, would you like to come down to the Tonight Show? I mean, the Late Night with David Letterman. And I'm going to be on. I was like, yeah.
Yeah.
And then a couple hours before, it was like, there's a rumor that Carson is going to be on the show. Blew my. It was incredible.
You know how to pick the episodes.
Very lucky. Okay, so.
You were going to do your impression.
It's a lot of Johnny Carson. He's from the Midwest. That's the whole thing.
It's pretty good.
Sometimes you would say, you would go, the word I used to use to do the impression was apparently. We go, because he would do that word. Apparently, that's it.
That's your touchstone. Apparently.
Or Dolly Parton. So I have a very close connection to Johnny. I never did The Tonight Show, so I'm not one of those guys, but Johnny Carson came agonizingly close to booking it. Still, maybe my biggest career disappointment, so this might be emotional.
I'm sorry.
That's all right.
It's a safe place.
Carson was the host of The Tonight Show from 1962, October, till 1992, October. 30 years. Is there anything else you need to know? Are we done?
I think that's it.
Yeah, that was fun.
And don't busk for career.
Do not busk. Yeah, so that's basically it. When I was in college, I wrote a paper on Johnny Carson. That's how big a fan I was of this guy. Everyone thinks he's from Nebraska. He's actually born in Iowa. Not a lot of people know that.
I didn't. I didn't know he was from Nebraska.
Anyway, I think what you should...
But you're just ignoring my sack.
Well,
anyway,
I don't...
Anyway.
I know. What you're saying you didn't know. Most people don't. You didn't know he's from Nebraska is what you said?
No. I mean, it's probably... I've read it before, seen that before, but it's... Like I said, I am embarrassingly ignorant about Johnny Carson.
Well, he's... Well, I'm always curious because, obviously, I have a connection to him because childhood... But I'm wondering if someone never, probably only knew of Leno as host of The Tonight Show, right?
Mm-hmm.
And now Jimmy Fallon, that's it. That brief Conan moment. I just don't know if Carson connects with you, or it just seems the way I would look at when I was a kid, when I would see, clips of like Jack Parr.
Yeah,
who was a host before Johnny Carson took over.
I think it's something about. Like, if you're a fan of something,
yeah,
you want to know, like, if it's a person, a comedian, a sports person, a musician, you want to know who their influence and their fans are. And then the more you get invested, then you want to know who theirs are and theirs are and theirs are. And if you follow, if you follow the trail back, you end up on these iconic institutions like The Tonight Show, like Saturday Night Live, and like Johnny Carson. And so I think as a fan of comedy... There's something there that can then you hope trickles then back down into your own, sort of subconscious.
Well, there was a number of The Tonight Show is basically based on The Today Show.
Yes.
Like that was their first big hit they had on NBC. It was on in the morning.
Same naming convention.
Yes, exactly. You get it. I'm trying to think of the guy's name Pat Weaver is. That's off the top of my head. That might be wrong. Send your complaints to me at Twitter, @Fetterman. But I believe the guy Pat Weaver is the guy that came up with the concept of the Today and then later Tonight. Obviously, there was a number of hosts in between, but the main ones were Steve Allen, then Jack Parr, then Johnny Carson, then Leno, Conan.
Fallon.
So that's it. So that all started in the 50s. And really, I think Jack Parr is responsible for creating what we see today.
Yeah.
The guy, they bring out the guest. Steve Allen show was a little more of a variety show. Although Carson, and I love him, did steal some bits from Steve Allen characters from a guy named Jonathan Winters. And some comedy pacing from his idol, Jack Benny.
Is it stealing or is it... Well, I mean, it's the characters, maybe.
Well, if you ever saw...
But like pacing, is that like stealing or
No. The Jack Benny thing isn't stealing. But certainly Aunt Blabby and those characters were basically what Jonathan Winters was doing. And certainly Karnak, which you referenced earlier... Steve Allen used to do something called The Answer Man, which was the same.
And then Letterman went and did it, too.
Of course. But I think Letterman paid a little more...
Homage?
Yes, to Mr. Allen.
Do you say homage or homage? I know you're careful with your words.
Yeah, I try to be. That's a good question.
Depends on the sentence.
Yeah. Now, let's just use the word tribute.
Okay. like Hunger Games?
I don't know what that is. That's a book and a movie, right? Yeah. I've seen the first one, and that's all. So what does tribute mean?
A tribute is one of the people who play the game.
What do you mean?
They volunteer, like, their tribute for their...
For their district, village?
For their village.
Yeah. Oh, it's a district. Okay. I was out after one. I was out. But they're obviously making a lot of money. You've seen them all?
I think so.
I love it.
I might not have seen
them. Did you read the books?
I listened to the books.
Who narrates them? Just an actor.
Whoever was on Audible.
Yeah.
It was before the movies that I listened to them.
Wow.
So.
It doesn't matter. We'll talk about it.
We can do the tangents. That's part of the show.
We'll do the tangents. I heard that the books were fantastic.
And I mean this as a compliment.
Yeah.
They're every single, like, trope that someone would teach you on how to write a story. Like... It's, you know,
hero's journey?
No, obviously that. But what's the
can you dismiss?
Cat, kill a baby
or
whatever?
Yeah. Something sympathetic.
Yeah, there's a love triangle. Yeah. So, you know, it's like a chapter where a chapter normally would end. They would, like, they just go to the next sentence of the first chapter and end it. So it's always a cliffhanger. You know, you just want to keep on going. So it's every, like, trope just... pulpy, but in the best sense of the word, you know. So it's very, and then it's, you know, written for younger audiences, so it's very
young adult?
Yes, I would say young adult.
Okay.
So it's very
is there
consumable.
Any actual sex in it?
I don't think so. Maybe implied, like two people are in a bed and then it's the next morning.
Okay.
But right. I don't remember. Is that what you look for in books? Sex?
That's all... No, just I've always wondered, like, what's in a young adult. I don't know if I've ever read a young adult book. I assume in the Twilight there's sex in that series, right?
I think what makes it young adult is A, the complexity of language, and B, the
that's the adult part.
Yes.
Yeah, and the young part.
Well, no, like it's wherever it is on the scale of complex language, like it's not. A scientific journal, but it's also not a cardboard children's book. And then I think it deals with a lot of the issues that a young adult might be going through, like coming of age, trying to decide who you are, questions about
becoming
relationships.
A tribute.
Yes.
Yeah, a lot of people want to become a tribute.
Yeah. So anyway.
All right, I'm learning. So Johnny Carson, when I became aware of The Tonight Show, he was the king of late night.
Mm-hmm.
For the first 10 years of the show, from 62 to 72, and I'm surprised you don't remember this from the doc, he did the show out of New York.
Yes.
Where they're doing it right now, Studio 6B.
And then he moved it to Burbank.
Then he moved it to Burbank, even though they would open the show by saying, from Hollywood, it's The Tonight Show, starring Johnny Carson. Not with Johnny Carson.
Starring
Johnny Carson. So they came out to Hollywood, and then he became huge. Now, there's always comedians that broke on The Tonight Show that got big. After Ed Sullivan was the way to become a famous comedian in the country in the 50s, slowly that became out of fashion, and what was going on in late night became more important.
Mm-hmm.
So there were comedians who brought Joan Rivers, Rickles. There's a lot of comedians. Parr broke some comedians. Winters, obviously. Flip Wilson, Brenner. I'm just thinking of comedians that like got famous. But there's one comedian that you should know about that epitomized what happened in comedy and The Tonight Show. Now, he was already the king of late night. But in 1973...
Can I guess?
Yeah, you're going to get it.
Seinfeld?
No.
Oh.
Not Seinfeld. In fact, 9 years before Seinfeld, or 8 years before Seinfeld.
Was it Leno?
No. It's not Leno.
Okay, then I give up.
His name's Freddie Prinz. Have you ever heard of that guy?
Yeah. Okay. And his son.
Yeah, his son became like an actor.
Yeah.
So Freddie Prinz goes on The Tonight Show in 1973, and young comedian, 19 years old. Just think about that, 19. Yeah. Goes on The Tonight Show, Carson. We've got a great young comedian. It's always a thrill to bring out a young talent, see what they can do.
Can come out in front of an audience and not have a great deal of exposure and try to find people accept what they do. And this gentleman, his name is Freddie Prinz, he's just 19 years old and graduated about 6 months ago from the High School of Performing Arts in New York. And he works in New York at the Improvisation in a place called Catch a Rising Star. And this is his first appearance on The Tonight Show. So make him feel a welcome. You sound like you're in a good mood. Would you welcome Freddie Prinz?
Yeah.
Ready?
And in kills, whatever the word for it, the thing does great, great, great. Sammy Davis Jr. is on the panel. Now, usually when you did The Tonight Show, you did your set, said thank you. Maybe Carson would give you an okay sign, which meant you did good, and then you would go back behind the curtain and you'd do another set in a couple months or something, or 3 months. But if you were great, he would bring you over to the couch as sort of like his endorsement as the kingmaker or the king who could make the new prince. Yeah. I don't know what the analogy. I'm doing bad with these metaphors. So
yeah, admiral who christened a captain.
Yeah. So he brings over Freddie Prinz. Freddie was stunned. Sits him down and is like, that was unbelievable. That was one of the best things I've ever seen. We'll be right back. Comes back. He's still gushing over Freddie Prinz.
Oh, you know, there's no greater thrill for me personally to have somebody come out here who's unknown and stand up in front of an audience and absolutely wipe them out the first appearance coast to coast. That's great.
They talk to him some more. Sammy Davis talking to him some more. They cut to another commercial. So now stand-up has gone. Now it's had two segments. Come back another segment with Freddie Prinz, at the end of which they say, our last guest tonight will not be on. So he basically bumped a guest. That guest's name was Irma Bombach. She was a writer. Funny. And then talk to him one more time as they ended the show. So it was like watching a dream watching him happen. By the next day, Freddie Prinz had a sitcom deal, was a millionaire, had bookings all over the country, and
that's insane.
It was insane. It was that fast. Like, there's never been as dramatic a moment of like, nobody knows you, now you are the next big thing.
Yeah.
So that was the power of Johnny Carson. I wish I remember the exact date, but I know it was in 1973. What Carson said also, which was, there's nothing that gives me more of a thrill than to watch and discover new talent. And suddenly the migration of comedians from New York and all over the country, including your buddy David Letterman, all came to L.A., mainly to work at the Comedy Store and then later the Improv, because the Comedy Store had just opened in 72, the year before, to be discovered on The Tonight Show. It changed the whole dynamic of it. I feel like it was the earthquake moment for what would become the comedy boom.
Oh. You know, there's no greater thrill for me personally to have somebody come out here who's unknown and stand up in front of an audience and absolutely wipe them out the first appearance coast to coast. That's great.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for listening, and be sure to come back next week for part two of this discussion. And thank you to Wayne Fetterman. Or should I say, Professor Fetterman. Anyway, you can find him on Twitter at Fetterman or at WayneFetterman.com. And if you want to know more about this show, check out CESOCShow.com or follow us on Twitter at CESOShow. That's SEESO Show. See you next week for part two.